evening. I'm your host, Aaron Ripmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 208 for July 20th, 2014 are Kevin Crossman.
Aloha, everyone.
Don Donfris.
How's everybody doing?
And Jeff Swearingen.
Hey, guys.
Tonight on the podcast, we're going to be talking about our favorite Disney trains, and we're going to be taking a broad view of trains, you know, anything that is an actual train or uses a train as its theme, as we talked about it, you know, preparing for this podcast, you know, Big Thunder counts, Space Mountain not so much. But before we get into that, I do want to thank our podcast sponsor, Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Next time your family's planning a vacation to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney, consider using a Fairy Tale Journeys travel agent. They'll take the stress out of your planning, and best of all, they'll do the planning work for you for free. That's right, no charge to the customer. Their services are paid for by the destination, and you don't pay any more for having someone hold your hand and take care of all the details while you focus on the fun. You can check them out at fairytalejourneys.com. All right, gentlemen, Disney trains. Trains have a long history with Disney. You know, in many ways, Walt Disney's love of trains is sort of the birth of Disney theme parks in many ways. So let's get things going here and talk about what our favorite Disney trains are. And for the first stab at this, and we kind of made these, you know, rough top fives. So we'll start at the bottom and work to the top. And Kevin, I know you're pretty passionate about Disney trains. So give us number five on your list.
All right. My number five is the Casey Jr. train at Disneyland. This is a longtime favorite out in Fantasyland. And the reason I like this is back in the day, it actually sort of was a little bit of a thrill ride for kids because there is some hills and dips and things like that. Today, obviously, very, very tame, even by kiddie roller coaster standards. But I love going on this ride because they have those monkey cages, and you can go inside the cage with your kids and you know, have fun like you're on a circus train while you're going around in Fantasyland. So that's my number five, Casey Jr.
All right. Yeah, that extra dose of theming does make it special. So, Jeff, what's your number five?
Actually, my number five was also going to be Casey Jr. out in Disneyland.
All right. So more Casey Jr. love. Tell us why it's special to you.
I love the fact that you can either see the Scrubbook Land from the boat or the train out there, and Casey Jr. just gives you a great vantage point of the entire Fantasyland area as you ride along. The cars are a little tight, but for the view you're getting, you can't pass that up.
All right. All right. How about you, Don? What's number five on your list?
The conservation train in Animal Kingdom.
Ah, interesting choice. So what makes conservation station train?
Well, it's, I guess it's more of the well, it's kind of the ride out there, and then knowing what you're getting to in conservation station, you know, it's kind of a little more relaxed back there. So, you know, it's kind of just a easy, relaxed little ride out there and back. So
okay, so more than even the train itself, it's the you know, that the promise of the trip to conservation station, the, you know, kind of more laid back touring that it means.
Yes.
Okay, that makes some sense. You know, my number five might be a little controversial because number five on my list is the Walt Disney World Railroad. I know it's probably higher on a lot of people's lists. I'm just not a traditional train guy so much. I think part of that is because I'm kind of a big guy, and most of those trains, I never feel comfortable, you know? I always feel a little cramped. And I think part of my complaint about Walt Disney World Railroad is that it could be so much more, but a lot of the, you know, sort of overlooks and scenery just aren't what they could be. You know, a lot of places you can't see so much. What you can see hasn't necessarily been as well maintained as I would like. And so it just barely makes the list there at number five. Let's see. Let's work our way back around with number four. And Don, what's your number four?
My number four was going to be the exact same thing you just
said. All right. Well, anything you want to add to my analysis?
And kind of for the same reasons. It's pretty much what I agree with you on that. I mean, it's great that it's this classic thing and that it's got its connection to Walt. I mean, that was his, you know, thing to always have. But there's just not much to. You're just kind of on this thing. There's not a whole lot to see. There's not a whole lot about it, you know. And it could be really kind of much more cool, but there's really not much to it.
Yeah, and it's a lot less stuff than even a Disneyland's train, which didn't even make my list either, so, yeah. In the Magic Kingdom.
Right, and I guess, you know, to me, it's kind of, it's frustrating because it's one of those examples where it wouldn't even take a lot of monetary investment and some creative imagineering to, you know, give us some things that are worth seeing.
No, exactly. You know, even if it's just glimpses, you know, kind of like on the Carousel of Progress where you're getting these views of stuff, even though they're, you know, kind of flashing by you. But
right. No. All right. Well, how about Carousel,
TTA? Jeez. Mixed up.
Right.
Anyway.
Right. No, that's what you're saying. How about you, Jeff? What's number four on your list?
I'm going to actually head over to Japan for this one. The Tokyo Disney Sea Electric Railway.
Interesting. So tell us some about this, because, you know, we did several shows talking about Tokyo, but we didn't talk much about the Disney Sea's Electric Railway.
Well, the train that they have at Tokyo Disneyland isn't the typical train that they have at Disneyland or Walt Disney World, because it just goes around Western Land. But the Tokyo Disney Sea Electric Railway is transportation point to point between two lands, and you're in what looks almost like a New York subway car turn of the century, and it's elevated, so you see the entire park as you're going across, which the views are incredible. We actually, at the time that we were there, there were a couple of attractions that were down for refurbishment that you couldn't see beyond the walls if you're on the ground. But you get in the train, the railway, and going overhead, and you can see great views of what they were doing for the refurbishment, as well as you can see all the way out to Mount Fuji.
Wow. That's a really nice vantage point.
It really is incredible.
See, and that's exactly what we were just talking about is missing from the Disney World and to some extent to the Disneyland trains is, you know, that running that train through something that's worth looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So, Kevin, what was number four for you?
All right. Number four on my list is the Heimlich's Choo Choo Train in A Bug's Land at Disney's California Adventure. And as trains go, this has to be the slowest. I think I could outwalk it in speed. And if you've never been there, basically it's you're in Heimlich, the caterpillar from Bug's Life. And the thing that's charming about this attraction is that, while it's not the longest, it's not the most exciting, there is a little charm to it because of the way Heimlich narrates the ride through the different parts of his little land there. And they do have some senses and some smells and some little squirting water at you. And so, you know, as a relaxing little 90-second or so excursion, you could do a lot worse than Heimlich's Choo-Choo Train, and I do like the little narration from Heimlich.
Okay. And is it something that you know, I'm going to be in Disneyland here in just a few months? Is this something I need to make sure is on my itinerary?
Well, if this is your once-in-a-lifetime, one-day experience, it certainly is not going to be in the above-the-cut type of experience like Cars Land or something like that. But if you've been there before and you've never given it a try, or any of these Bugs Land attractions, really, I think it's worth doing at least once, and who knows, you might like it.
All right, all right. Well, number four for me is a train that's, you know, used for transportation, really. I went on number four for the Epcot monorail line. I think the monorail is a really unique train experience, and I think that I chose that line in particular, and I kind of went back and forth because, you know, the obvious choice was the resort monorail. But what I like about the Epcot monorail is that you have some sort of longer runs, right, once you get going from the TTC. And instead of the, you know, more frequent stop and goes, you get to enjoy the ride a little bit more. There's a little bit more sort of, you know, you don't have the view of the resorts and theme parks so much, but once you get towards Epcot, you actually go through the park. So there was the bonus there, and so that's why the Epcot monorail line made the number four slot on my list.
Can you imagine back in the day when people actually stayed in just the three hotels over there, like the Polynesian, that was their introduction to Epcot, was on the monorail, and they got to see the whole park before they even entered? What a great way to see Epcot for the first time.
Well, yeah, and you know, at the time, I mean, Epcot must have seemed so remote, right? Because you didn't have that whole ring of hotels around.
That's right.
Crescent Lake.
Yep.
And I still remember seeing the Living Seas being constructed from the monorail when I was, what was that, back in the 85, 86 area?
Yeah, that sounds about right, mid-80s, yeah.
And that's probably my earliest memory of Epcot, seeing the construction of that from the monorail as you came in. And I always love riding in and seeing the pavilions on both sides as you go along.
Yeah, and I also like that it looks different seasonally. Right, because they change out the plantings and things along the water there, and they're big enough swaths of land that even from the monorail, you know, you glance down and it looks different. And so it makes it, I don't want to say, you know, exaggerate and say it makes it a different experience, but it makes, I think, I'm struggling for language here. It's not like me to have a hard time coming up with a word. Talking is usually what I do well. But, you know, it just has – it adds to the feel of excitement and wonder about, you know, taking that monorail line into Epcot. In some ways, it almost makes it worth, you know, taking a monorail in, you know, staying on the opposite side of the property instead of – you know, staying right next to Epcot and walking in through International Gateway. I mean, as convenient as that is, the downside is that you lose the drama of the entrance.
And if you're in the park in Future World, the monorail gives that extra kinetic energy when it's going through.
Yeah, yeah, and I love how it comes in, like, right over Test Track, right? Because those kind of cross almost.
Yeah.
All right, so that was my number four. Coming back to number threes, why don't we start with Jeff for number three?
My number three is actually going to be the People Mover. And I think that qualifies as a train under our
broad definition. I was going to say, justify it as a train first, and then we can talk about why it's on the list.
I would call it a train because it is continuously moving vehicles that go in groups of four or five on a track. It is linear propelled, and you could qualify it as a transportation system, even though it doesn't really go anywhere. But it gives you a nice tour of Tomorrowland, and it's just a very relaxing ride, and you could get a great vantage point of the area as well.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm going to agree with you. I think you're right. I think it counts as a train. I think it counts as a train partially because of where it is, You know, if you had ride vehicles that did the same thing in, I don't know, you know, Adventureland, that wouldn't be a train, right? Because it wouldn't thematically be a train.
Right. And if there were continuous cars that were all connected, I wouldn't count it. But since they do break into segments, that's when it gets to the point of being a train for me.
Oh, good point. Yeah, I mean, I thought of it mostly as being, you know, cars on a track and the fact that it reflects the land in which it's located, right? It fits the
theme. The train of the future.
That's the train that belongs in Tomorrowland. The only other place it would make sense to me is I still think that it would make a lot of sense to have, you know, a people mover type train in Future World.
Yeah, that would be cool.
They were supposed to build one on the second floor of CommuniCorps at one point.
Oh, well, there you go. Would have made a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the people mover makes it at number three on Jeff's list. Don, what's number three on your list?
Thunder Mountain.
Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. Obviously, it's got railroad written in the title. So it's quintessential Disney type ride, you know, not too outrageous, but it's got enough thrills and enough cool thematics that make it fun to ride, you know.
Sure.
And checking out trying to catch all the little details in it that, you know, I mean, that you don't see on a typical roller coaster at just any old amusement park. You know, there's all the little details that you can see, and you know, it's not too crazy. It's one that we can actually get my wife on. So as a family, we can actually go on this one because, you know, my daughter and I'll go on anything, but my wife is a little iffy, so it's one that we can actually get her on. So
okay.
That's one that we like.
Sure. And how about you, Kevin? What's number three on your list?
Number three on my list is the Wildlife Express train at Animal Kingdom.
Thank you for correctly identifying.
That's the proper name for this train.
I knew I was saying it wrong.
And anyway, I just love the theming here. You come into Africa, and then you go on this train. It feels like an old African train. And, you know, and a lot of people complain, you know, the Animal Kingdom haters complain that this train doesn't go anywhere, as if a lot of other trains don't go anywhere either. But anyway, you know, I think that it's a great experience. Even if it really did do nothing but do an actual loop, I'd still want to go on this because I just like the ride. And you do get a little bit of a view of the backstage area of the Animal Kingdom, which I, as an Animal Kingdom fan, like to see. And I do like going out to Rafiki's Planet Watch. So it's, you know, you get a bunch of pluses there for me by riding the Wildlife Express train.
Yeah, see, my only real complaint about the Wildlife Express train is it's still kind of disorienting to me to sit sideways in the train.
Yeah, see, I grew up in Disneyland, and that's the way the train works at Disneyland in most every case, so I'm real used to that.
Then that makes sense to you. Would be logical. Well, you know, number three on my list is actually it may end up higher on the list at some point. It's number three right now because I saw it in action, but haven't actually ridden on it yet. And that's the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And it makes number three on my list solely on the basis of having been there and watching it back in like late April, you know, watching it make test runs. The theming of that Seven Dwarfs Mine Ride area is absolutely stunning. It's just gorgeous. You know, just watching the train make test runs around, it feels more like an a theme park train than just about any other theme park train I've ever seen. You know, I'm avoiding using the Q word because Don's already used it. But it's just, you know, couldn't be more perfect for what it is. and the added little tweak of the swinging cars, you know, talking to people who have had the experience of riding it already, the biggest thing that those swinging cars seem to do is to allow the train to make some maneuvers that on other train attractions, you know, are the ones where you're, you know, crushing the person sitting in the seat with you, which is often difficult for me because, you know, I'm a big guy, as I've mentioned. I often ride with my son, who's much, much smaller than me because he's 7. And, you know, it'll be nice to be able to ride something that, you know, when it whips around a nice tight curve, we can have fun whipping around the curve without me feeling like, you know, I'm going to squash him against the side of the train. So that's why Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, even though I haven't had a chance to ride it yet, just from having watched it, it makes it to number 3 on my list.
That's a really great choice. And I think, you know, if you look at something like Casey Jr. at Disneyland, that was sort of the equivalent back in 1955. And here we are in 2014. This is what the family coaster looks like now. And obviously a big improvement. So that's a good choice.
All right. Has everybody had a chance to go through their number 3?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought so. All right. So Jeff Swearingen, you get to go up first with your number 2.
All right. Well, I know a couple people looked a little down on this earlier, but my number 2 is actually the Walt Disney World Railroad.
Okay, well, so defend your choice.
If you are a train buff, this is got a lot of history here. All these trains were brought up from South America, and how they were able to get these things up is the stories behind that are absolutely amazing. There was actually some dealing with the Mexican government, I believe, to get them up here in a manner that would not offend the Mexican government.
Okay.
But I'm going to skip past the ride and go straight for the Behind the Steam Trains tour, which I think is something that if you have any love of trains, if make the time to do this at Walt Disney World, because you get to go through, learn the signals of how the whistles work, they take you back in the roundhouse, and then you get to go into the engine with the conductor for a little while and get an up-close look at all the controls in there. And if you have any interest in trains, this is just heaven, being back there.
Is this the steam trains tour?
Yes.
Okay.
I've done it twice now, and every single time, I'm ready to go back and do it again.
Well, that's high praise. You know, a guided tour like that merits, you know, a repeat viewing is difficult to do. You know, those sometimes feel so highly scripted that while it's great information, once you've done it, you feel like you're done. And that's high praise to say that it's worth, you know, a repeat visit.
Well, the good thing about this tour with trains is that at least up until recently, it was done mainly by the engineers of the trains. And they were the ones who created the tour on their own. And they will tell you the operational stuff that Disney doesn't necessarily want out there. Like, I remember hearing that there are 4 trains on the Disney Railroad, the Roy, the Walt, the Roger Brogie, and the Lillian. And the one thing I remember was that the Lillian was apparently the most cantankerous of the 4 trains, and they only used her for the opening show typically, and then just retired her for the rest of the day.
Huh. Interesting.
So each of these engines has a certain personality to it, just like they do at Disneyland, and that's what I find interesting about it, the operational aspects of it and seeing which trains are on the track. And there have been times where I've gone just to see if I can ride all the trains that are running that day. Just you go up, you ask which trains are running, and then you sort of time it out to get on there just for the whole completest aspect.
Sure. Excellent. All right. Well, thank you. That's a solid explanation and a solid argument. Number two for me is, as has been mentioned, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. It's a terrific train. It's well-themed. I love the details all around the track. The refurb that was recently finished, really at both Walt Disney World and Disneyland, they've each had major refurbs done just in the last couple of years, have done a really nice job on revitalizing the theming of the trains and their environments. And, you know, there's a little personal connection, too, because Big Thunder is the first big rail or big coaster that I was able to get my son to ride with me, and he enjoys them now. And that was the one that was kind of his gateway drug enjoying roller coasters with my daughter and I. So that's why, for me, Big Thunder Mountain merits all the way up to the number two slot on my list. I don't know. Kevin, how about you? What's number two on your list?
Well, I think any list of Disney trains has to include Big Thunder Mountain. It is one of the signature attractions in all the Disney theme parks. And worth noting, in these days where everything must be synergistic, that it is an original property. Remember those? For my choice, I'm going to choose the Big Thunder Mountain at Disneyland Paris because, as we've discussed on our top five coaster shows, this is the best version of Big Thunder Mountain. It's, most of the attraction ride is pretty similar, but you do go underneath the basically Rivers of America equivalent and up underneath the tunnel out into the mountains and whatnot, and then you go down into a tunnel at the end, and so you get a little extra thrill with this version of the ride. But all of the Big Thunder Mountains are awesome in their own right, and I agree that the updates in the American theme parks have been really helpful, and so that's definitely a highlight.
Okay. All right. So, Don, we swing back around to you for your number two.
My number two would be Expedition Everest. The theming is just incredible. Granted, we have Disco Yeti, but everything else about the ride is, I just love it. I mean, you know, the queue is amazing, and then the ride itself is pretty exciting. So that's definitely my number two.
All right. Well, you know, that swings us around nicely because Expedition Everest was actually number one on my list. You know, my daughter and I talked about this just before I came down to record the show. And we kind of had a discussion back and forth about Big Thunder and Everest. And what we agreed we really liked about the Expedition Everest train were really a couple of things. One is that we really loved that the design of the train itself was unique and different and fit the location in which the attraction exists. It looks like a, you know, Himalayan mountain train.
Yeah, definitely.
And that fact that it has that unique, different look was, you know, what made it stand out to us. We had the opportunity, she and I, we rode together back in January in that front car. Riding in the front car on Expedition Everest is a unique experience. It's worth having if you haven't done it. Some people prefer the back. We thought that the ride in the front was really terrific, although I don't know. I don't think I would volunteer to do it when they're doing the refurb on the, they did a sort of a, while the ride was still operating, refurb of that little section where the track is out. And they had taken down that whole track is out piece and were working on it for a week or so or a few days. And when that happened, when you reach that point in the attraction, it literally looks like you're going to fly right off.
Oh, gosh.
It's an extra thrill.
Yeah. And my daughter and I agreed that, we loved our ride in the front car. We don't think we would do it while that repair was being done. A little too much for us. But it is. It's just it's a unique train that fits its environment so well, they did a really great job with everything, including the track and the look of the track and the train. So that's what put Expedition Everest number one on my list. I don't know. How about you, Jeff? What's number one on your list?
Number one on my list is going to be the Disneyland Railroad. Go with the classic. This has been around since the beginning of the park. This was Walt's train. And you have the extra benefit of you have the whole Grand Canyon and the primeval world that you can ride through while you're on the train to give you something to look at. But there's just so much history with this train as well. And if you're lucky enough to do it, for a while they only limited this to tours, but I think they've opened it back up again so anyone can do it. But if they have Walt's personal car, the Lily Bell running, getting to go in there and see the artifacts that they have from Walt in that car, that's a really special time.
Okay.
That would be really cool.
That is. Very cool.
Apparently, they've even got the Emperor of Japan came to Disneyland back in the 70s and left one of his robes in the car as a memento.
Very nice. Interesting. I'll probably have to take that ride.
If you can, if it's available for anyone, get in there as soon as you can. Go up to the train station and sign up. And if you are into Disney history, that is well worth your time. You get a little commemorative ticket to say you rode on the train as well.
Very cool. Yeah, as I understand it, they only run that car, when the weather cooperates.
Right. There's no air conditioning in the car, so if it's hot out, don't plan on it being out there because apparently it turns into a complete oven.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, and if it's raining, they don't run it either because they don't want people tracking all kinds of mud in.
Good to know. All right, so Don, what's number one on your list?
Mine is the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
All right, so we just got back from Walt Disney World.
Yeah, we were just there. It is everything that they said it would be. It's not the most thrill-seeking, but the theming, the smoothness of the ride, the animatronics, the whole queue. We did not ride it during the day. We were on it at night because that was the only time I could get fast passes for.
Okay.
It was 12 o'clock at a.m.
Okay.
But it was really cool. And it just has this feel of, I mean, that whole area. This is the first time we've been to New Fantasy Land, and the whole area it feels like it's always been there. You know, you would never know that this is all new, and it just, the way it all so blends in, and the fact that you can walk completely around this ride and see it, you know, it's really great. We enjoyed it. We had a great time, so...
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things that I noted about it when I put it on my list is that whole environment just right in the middle of New Fantasyland is so terrific because it's not just the train. It's the train and the trestle bridge and the tunnel and, you know, all of that train detail that is just beautiful.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
And it's got great views depending on what time of day you go on it. I've done it in the early morning. I've done it around sunset, and it's a completely different experience both times.
Interesting. That's good to know. All right, Kevin. So bring it home for us. What's number one on your list?
Well, you know, I'm a little embarrassed. I didn't think about Expedition Everest as a train. I really should have thought about that. But my list is my list, so I'm going to go. My number one is the Disneyland monorail. And, you know, you talked a lot about the monorail earlier, Aaron, in Disney World. And, you know, a lot of the reason I chose the monorail is that for people who love trains, it is both a means of transportation to get from point A to point B, but also just the experience of the ride is what why you enjoy riding that mode of transportation versus something else. And so in this case, it is a mode of transportation. It takes you from Disneyland over to Downtown Disney and or vice versa. And but it also is an interesting ride and actually takes you out above the park, over the Esplanade, into, you know, through DCA. You can see Harbor Boulevard for what that's worth. You're actually seeing something, unlike you know, the train, like we talked about, the Disneyland Railroad.
Right.
And I chose the Disneyland monorail specifically here because I do like the new Mark 8 trains. And if you have the opportunity to try to get up to the front of the monorail and sit with the driver, that is a great experience because these bubble window designs are really exciting. And you get a great view. So that's my number one.
I don't think they do that in Disney World anymore.
They don't,
which is really frustrating because, you know, they stopped doing that.
We were able to do it when...
Oh, yeah? And see, for me, it's really frustrating because, you know, they stopped doing it. And then a couple years later, you know, one of my friends ends up being a monorail driver.
Oh, gosh. That would have been cool. But, yeah, we were able to do it when Naya was... pretty small, but she still remembers it, and that was pretty cool. But they don't allow that in Disney World. So
yeah,
do they still do that in California though?
Yep. And you can do the back as well, but it's not as interesting because you're not leaving the train.
Jeff, was there something you wanted to add there?
No, I miss the fact that. You used to be able to ride in Disney World in the cab, but I understand why they took it away because of the whole accident. But getting to ride in the cab at Disneyland was a way to make up for that almost when I did that a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the system is a little more extensive at Walt Disney World. They've got more trains running on more tracks. And so I can kind of understand why they feel like they need to you know, keep the cab clear, so to speak.
Well, they just had a thing out. Heard today about they're testing automated drivers for that.
Well, the system will be more automated. The drivers will still be there, but a lot of the switching and things is going to be automated. That's they're in the process of installing that. That's one of the reasons for the. Sort of somewhat more limited hours that the monorail is operating right now.
Right.
Is that they're going through and retrofitting to get everything ready with, you know, this automated system. Theoretically, it should allow them to run the trains more efficiently, you know, have fewer of those times where you need to sidetrack and wait while another train, you know, goes through and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, what I love about what we just went through is we each had a top five, and there were some repeats that showed up on multiple lists, but we ultimately all had very different lists. And so there's really kind of a wide array of options to choose from. And I had a lot of fun. I don't know about you, but I had a lot of fun going through and, you know, building these lists. If we were to go around and maybe pick one other honorable mention that, you know, didn't make your list, but you would, you know, you're thinking about it now. And, you know, maybe you would have included it had you thought of it at the time. Let's go through and do one last, you know, honorable mention or one that you just didn't think of. And now you kind of wish you did. Don, how about you?
It would have to be something to do with the monorails.
Okay.
Like you said, I hadn't really. I mean, I thought of those, but I was trying to. I don't know, go with something else, right. But but the you know you really when you were talking about the Epcot line, I was just thinking about that because on the trip that we were just on. We did take the Epcot line, and I was thinking about it while we were out. I was like, wow, you know, it had been a while since I had done that one, and it was I'd forgotten how you know that was pretty cool how you go over the, you know, I mean, you see it all the time, but once you're, you know, actually driving over Epcot and stuff like that, I was like, wow, this, you know, this was really cool. So sure. And that would be one that I would, you know,
right,
lean toward adding to my list. Yeah.
Kevin, how about you?
Well, we already talked about my miss on Expedition Everest, so I'll take the opportunity to mention again, that's obviously a great attraction, and then the train component of that, especially when the steam is coming out the front, is always nice. I do want to say that I haven't been to Disney World since the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train opened, but it certainly seems to be getting high praise here. And, you know, as much as Storybook Land and Disneyland is viewed by many as some sort of sacred cow, you know, if they decided to get rid of that and drop a Seven Dwarfs Mine Train in that spot, it probably wouldn't pain me at all, because the reviews seem to be pretty good, that this is a really good attraction, and you know, very family friendly as much as it can be with the height requirement. And so you know, good to hear the good reviews from you guys.
Okay, we'll quote you on that and redirect all the hate mail to your address. You know, for me, I think that the one that I left off that you know, either an honorable mention or might have made the list if I did it over again is probably the People Mover, just because it's such a unique train type attraction. And I really hadn't thought of it, but the more I think about it, the more I think Jeff is right that, you know, it is a train that fits, much like I was talking about Everest, it's a train that fits its environment perfectly. And so that's one that I might have included. Jeff, how about you?
Well, the one that I have been thinking about that I wish I would have included would be the monorail. And I'm probably torn between either the Disneyland or the Epcot line. The resort line and the express line at Disney World don't really do anything for me, but both the Disneyland and the Epcot line give you a chance to ride through and over a park. And that's what I really enjoy when I go to these parks, those type of opportunities that you can't get anywhere else.
Sure, sure. All right. Well, you know, you've heard what we think are the top five trains at Walt Disney World plus one. We'd love to hear your opinions. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com, visit our blog, dizdads.com, tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter, and participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. You can also visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Kevin Crossman.
Night, everyone.
Don Donfris.
Good night, everyone.
And Jeff Swearingen.
Good night.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.